Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Oh, wait for it, and there I am.
You sound sexy. You sound ready to do things.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our five couples engaged in romantic intercourse. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is...
Time Pop. We just broke Ari's Zoom.
Yeah, Ari's Zoom is... Oh, there's funky things happening on Ari's Zoom. She looks like she's getting taken over by...
I'm in a temporal causality loop right now, you guys.
It looks like we're watching Ari on a VCR VHS tape that's getting all that stuff.
That's gonna be cool.
That is definitely a Deccion field distortion.
Oh, good drop.
Oh, wow.
I just want to say, Ari, your room... looks way bigger in person.
You in person?
Yeah, I peeked in your... I didn't go digging, you know, I didn't go digging through your closet or anything, but I definitely peeked in.
When were you in my room?
Oh, in the time stories.
Oh, right, of course.
Time stories.
I forgot about that.
When you're not home.
Yeah, no, it's a big room.
It is. It is. It looks I'll just say it. It looks tiny.
On camera?
It does.
It's an illusion.
Just like time and causality.
It's a Deccion field distortion is what it is.
You're a Deccion field distortion.
Is what it is. Scott, what are we talking about today?
All right, we're getting a fresh. We're trying out some TV episodes, classic time travel TV episodes. And of course...
Like shows based on time travel?
Maybe shows that include time travel, special episodes. In all of our celebration of things nerddom, how could we not honor the great Star Trek, The Next Generation? How could we not? Well done episodes, thoughtful, a few time travel ones in there.
Oh, Ari's had it. She's done.
Ari left. I offended her because she hates Star Trek so much. So yes, our episode this week was Cause and Effect, the 18th episode of the 5th season.
Yes, it is.
How do you feel about that, folks?
I now own this episode and only this episode of Star Trek TNG.
It was the 6th most watched episode that season.
Whoa!
There you go.
Look at that, folks.
There's your fun fact for you.
That's actually a lie. I actually bought another time travel episode.
Oh, good.
I bought a season 7 because after I watched this, I was like, well, that's really interesting, but I was like, maybe we double up? Maybe we do two time travel Star Trek episodes, but No, we will do the other one, folks. We will get to all. Have you seen the wiki? They have a wiki page just dedicated
to this
episode. Time travel. No, to time travel Star Trek episode.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
It's a beefy wiki. Like we could do
a spinoff podcast, just Star Trek time travel.
We totally could. And this is our, I was going to say 4th, but I think it's just our 3rd. Star Trek episode. We have done Star Trek Welcome Back, Cotter, and what was it? Welcome Home. What Star Trek movies did we do, Scott? I forget.
Oh, the
Homeward Bound.
We did the 4th one,
The Voyage Home,
and we did is it First Contact, when they the invention of the warp drive, they go back, I believe.
Was it First Contact? The other movie we did, the other Star Trek movie we did.
Yeah, I believe so. It's not the Borg one.
I don't think you were on the other one, Scott. I think
what
you were on.
You don't know what you're talking about.
The most recent one. Is this our 3rd or 4th Star Trek
episode? Yeah, it was First Contact. It was First Contact was the film, and then Home.
And you were on that one?
I don't know. Time is a construct, and where my place is in it.
What Scott doesn't know is this is the 17th time he's recorded this episode.
But it's not a causality loop unless I had something to do with the fact that it's looping. I'm not causing the loop.
So this episode started hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Within before the opening credits, the Enterprise explodes.
Which is a big deal for Star Trek fans.
Yeah.
To see it explode. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, it's a grab them by the balls intro. Our friends die. You see the actual crew officially explode and die. So that doesn't happen too often. And the only way you can take care of that and fix that is time travel.
Which Star Trek knows better than any series known to man, movie and TV. You don't like it? Time travel it. We'll redo it.
It's probably an easy episode to shoot, right? They just have like their like three significant scenes. They've got like the poker table. They've got the checking him out in the med bay. And they've got the conversation with the captain. Oh, and then the scene on the bridge. But these four scenes just get looped over and over again.
And nobody is, I mean, the you know, there's plenty of main actors. But as far as the entire crew of the Enterprise is involved, nobody is in this episode. Because I was looking at it, I was kind of forgetting. I was like, because I can't remember their names, of course. I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan. I like it. But I was like, who is it? And I looked up Star Trek The Next Generation, and there's 100 crew members, and we saw 8 of them.
Yeah, but those are the main folks.
But no Will Wheaton? I mean, this is season 5.
He was in and out. That got very weird about when he was in it, when he wasn't. Yeah, but we miss you, Will. So yeah, I don't know. You know, we could discuss plot-wise what happens, because it really just keeps looping, right? I mean, it's pretty...
Yeah, we can talk about the whole loop.
There's the poker game.
So this is, first of all, this is Stardate 45652.1.
I'm sorry, actually, it starts with them on the bridge, and they're in a situation, and they say for everyone to abandon the ship, and the ship explodes. That is the beginning.
Yes. And then we come out of the opening credits, and they're playing poker. And Deanna is the first person in this loop that we see that's like, what's going on here? I feel like I've been here before. A little deja vu.
Deanna? She didn't say it. Wasn't it the Dr. Crusher?
Oh, is it Crush? Did I get the wrong?
Yeah, Dr. Crusher is the doctor. Yeah.
Oh, why did I think that was Deanna?
They're female. It happens.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, ladies. I love you. I'm not a big fan. It's not because you all look alike. It's because I'm just scanning the It's because I'm scanning the crew real quick.
So they all look alike. The hair and curves. It's all the same. Yeah, it was Riker, Worf, Data, and Dr. Crusher. They're playing poker.
Yes.
Dr. Crusher ends up winning. And I think at the end, like, she said she had a feeling, right? That's her first hint.
Yeah, she catches it because Riker's bluffing big time. And he's trying to buy his way out of the bluff. And Dr. Crusher's just like, oh, so Wesley is, yeah, her son.
That's her son, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Yes. And do you know why I know that? I'm just going to come clean. Do you know why I know that?
What?
Big Bang Theory.
Everything you need to know about life, you learn from Big Bang Theory.
Wesley Crusher.
So she gets called away to the med bay for Geordi LaForge, who's like getting dizzy. And she says it's like an ear infection. And now she's prescribing it. That was also the first time where she's like, have we done this before? He's like, nope. She's like, okay. I don't remember if she talks to Picard then.
I don't think anything gets done on this first loop.
Yeah, the first loop. Yeah.
She just has some feelings.
Yeah. He ends up on the bridge, though. There's like a temporal space anomaly, right? And then they see a ship come through heading right toward them. He asks what the options are. One says to...
What kind of ship is coming towards them?
I mean, it kind of looked like the Enterprise, but it was not.
Exactly. Well, it's definitely a fleet, a star fleet, a Federation ship. Yeah.
They ask the options, and I know that... it was suggested from Riker to like explode some bay or something. And then I forgot who else. Someone else suggests the
Data,
the tractor beam. They use the tractor on the ship. It ends up kind of knocking into the ship. Everything goes haywire. They can't do anything. It's going to explode. They all die. Repeat. And so now we're going to the second time and she's playing poker again. And she's like, I know what cards you have. And that's where it starts getting a little wonky. And we should talk about this now or not.
She didn't quite know. I think she's still just getting stronger feelings.
Right. Round two is like, she thinks she knows something. And then when she's with Geordi, she's like, I think I remember doing this. He's like, I do too. Like, they're like, okay.
Now other people are agreeing with Dr. Crusher that things are...
She has a meeting with everyone and she's like, hey, a bunch of people on the ship have been... Oh, and she's going to bed at night and she hears voices.
Yes, yes.
And then she goes to the big meeting and she's like, guys, lots of people are hearing voices. It's not just me. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't find any... At that point, they couldn't find any anomalies yet or Data didn't. Did he find any Yeah, I don't think he found any anomalies. So they just were like, there must be a communicator malfunction or something.
Right. But they end up in the same situation. Ship explodes. Now we're doing this like a third time. And this time with the poker, I think she knows some cards. And then like Riker's also like, I think I do too. And they all like are starting to remember some of the cards that are about to be played.
Yeah, I think she just like calls him on it. She's like, you don't like, you've got a four under there. Like, go fuck yourself. He's like, what?
And then I think, was it that round that she's with Geordi and they start like maybe trying to look into this a little bit?
Yeah.
And then they have, you know, I mean, she hears more voices and stuff. I think they have a meeting, they record the voices, and they start realizing that it's like other times, like the voices of them as the crew being looped up in a bunch of times, and they realize that they theorize that they're being caught in a loop and they may not remember it.
Yeah, Data finds that by this time they have found like a recording. They've scanned the ship, find the recording, or I don't know if the recording is right, but of what everyone's hearing. And they have it so that Data can continue to listen to it. And he manages to pull out Captain Picard's voice saying, abandon ship, abandon ship.
Yeah.
And that's when they're like, okay.
So was this the time they just had the meeting about it, but I think they didn't have a solution? Is that the next round or did they have the solution in this one? They probably only repeated things four times. So maybe they did have the solution.
I don't think so. I think
they just discussed this was a possibility maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next one.
Oh, no. Because once they realize they're in an official loop, they immediately are like, okay, how can we send a message, basically?
Right. So they're in a time loop and they're like, we're not going to remember this. We are in a time loop and this is, we're going to die again. We're not going to remember it in the next round. And so how do we get out of this? So they start talking about sending like an echo to the future. And then I guess it's kind of,
or to the past.
Right, to the next round. There's something to Data's positronic brain to send a short message.
Yeah, and they don't know if it's going to work. They know it's got to be a short message.
Yeah, like they say, it might just be a few characters or one word or something.
Yeah.
And they're hoping, they're like, I don't know if this will go to the future loop and how they're going to take it.
But this is all we got.
Yeah. So that's all they leave it at that. Like, let's get on this. And then, of course, same thing happens.
Scott already said that. Yeah, they do something to Data's thing. And then so then everything just happens and you're like, okay, I don't think that worked. And then we're right back at the game. And now so the first round is dealt face down. And Dr. Crusher's like, you have a four, you have an eight, you have an ace, I have a queen. And they're like, what?
Right. So in this round that they were off, the numbers is like threes or like three pairs. Like
then, so once she calls them all on their cars, they're like, holy shit, just keep dealing. And then she goes, because I think the round before this, I think you're right. She said, she's like, he's going to deal you a three. He's going to deal you, like, I know what he's going to deal everybody. So this time she has that same feeling again. And she's like, you're going to get this. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. I'm going to get this. But instead of that, they all get threes. And then they're like, okay, something's off. Because now they're all getting that deja vu. They're getting that nip, nip, pa feeling. You know that feeling.
So they're just, but this time the cards are different. And so we're all kind of wondering what's up.
And it's a lot of threes. They each get dealt a three, and then they each get dealt a three of a kind. And then they go have their meeting again.
Yeah.
But this time some information has changed and Data has scanned the computers and come up with 2,085 conspicuous results of the number three showing up.
Right.
In a very short period of time.
Right. What's the significance of number three? And then I don't know if anything else significant happens, but they end up in their situation again. And the captain's, of course, Picard's asking again, what do we do? And of course, there's a suggestion that Riker has. And then there's like the tractor beam. And then Data has this little weird moment and he looks over and he says, no, that's not the way to go. We're going to go with Riker's idea. And then they do that. And then the ship passes. And later on, he said three was like the number of stripes on Riker's uniform or something.
Yeah.
And that made him think he had to choose Riker's choice.
Yeah. Because the choice was between Data and Riker.
Yeah.
So he left himself a clue.
And so they made it out of this and the ship goes by and then they talk to them and it's the Bozeman, right?
Yeah.
That's Bozeman. Ari, is there any other, has Bozeman been referenced in any other movie or show? It sounds really familiar.
Not that I can remember. I'm sure it has.
It's where I went snowboarding in high school.
Bozeman, Montana.
On a ship in the future. Yeah. And then the captain of that ship is everyone's favorite, is Kelsey Grammer, aka Frasier.
How in the fuck? I was so excited. I was gonna buy the next episode to continue this awesome, awesome storyline.
They probably didn't.
No.
Yes.
How do you get gifted a 70-year-old?
Yeah, 80 years, I think, right? That was so cool about it. So anyway, the Bozeman, they talk to them. They're like, hey, and what's great is they have the Star Trek uniforms from around the Star Trek IV Voyage Home, Star Trek III, original old school. And they're like, who are you guys? And they're like, they don't realize that they've been caught in the time loop for 80 years. And then even our crew has been in it for 17 days, apparently. So, yeah, anyway. And then, you know, the guy, the other ship, the Bozeman, doesn't realize it. And at the end, it was like, come on the ship. We got to tell you a few things. I have a few loopholes I want to talk to you guys about. Well, first of all, so let's talk about the obvious weird issue. If time is looping in an actual way, why would they have any memory of the previous times? I mean, whatever. I guess this is all not real. And we could just say, well, maybe there's residual.
Scott, you of all people. You of all people, if everything's happening, if it's all happening now.
Well, this is a loop. Yeah, this is a loop. But, this is a different thing.
If 12 hours ago was the same as 12 hours from now.
Well, that's also, yeah, with that theory, it's like being psychic because you could tell the future because it's happening right now and you're somehow able to tap into what has already happened. But that's still different than what we're talking about here.
Is it?
I don't know. Ari, what do you think? Should you remember what's in a previous time loop?
I mean, if your body is physically getting rewound in time, you know, there could be things in your brain that stay kind of like the deja vu, you know?
Right. It's trying to do like, I mean, Star Trek is a very scientific show. And they're going to like, this is what deja vu really is. And it's, I'm sorry. I'm going high hard science on this one. It's a little bit.
If you delete information on your hard drive, there's still fragments in there.
Yeah.
And so if you're going back in time, if you're looping.
Yeah.
Which they are looping. They're not rewinding on the same track.
Yeah.
If you're actually looping back to the same point, then there's going to be.
We've seen loop movies where people have their memory where they totally remember the previous loop, right? Like your Groundhog Day in Palm Springs and stuff. And they totally remember. So again, it's, you know.
I think all movies, they get to the point to where they start to kind of like go, huh, this is feeling oddly familiar.
But then the Bozeman, how come they didn't have it happen after 80 years?
Well, if God forbid we saw them in the next episode, maybe they would have talked about some of the weird shit that's been going on.
Dear Gene Roddenberry, fuck you, Desmond McNeese. Sincerely, Desmond McNeese.
This should have been a whole season.
Dear Gene Roddenberry, more Frasier. Love, Desmond McNeese. Dude, why would you tease Frasier and never bring him back? I'm quitting Star Trek.
I'm done. He shows up on the first. If you Google Star Trek The Next Generation crew, Kelsey Grammer is like number 30 on this list. Like, of the 10,000 people that appeared in this show, his 22nd. He's ahead of Leonard Nimoy by 30 people.
Anyway. So there's that. And then, Ari, you know, you're a science nerd. The idea of sending this echo, I don't know if they really explain any of the science behind it or what you thought about the Data's positronic brain and how they're sending an echo to the future loop. Is there anything you can add to that?
I guess it's along the same lines that if a human can kind of have a memory stick around, then maybe his computer brain memory can have, you know, a message.
Yeah. It's pretty loose science though, right?
Yeah, it is for sure. Yeah.
This episode, and I'm sorry, I was a big Next Generation fan and I have not in a while watched it. And I remember them being so enticing and so smart. And I saw this episode, I was like, is it not as good as I remember? Does it not hold up a little bit?
The pacing is so slow.
Yeah. And like, they don't know. It was really generic how they dealt with this. I, you know, I, yeah. they want to have a fun time travel loop episode, and you kind of had to have them remember, else they would be stuck in it forever. And I think it's considered like a very good episode for the show. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like very vague with how they dealt with it.
I mean, minus the $1 million they had to pay Kelsey Grammer to show up.
Yeah, oh my God, he's so obsessed with Kelsey Grammer.
This was a very cheap episode. Like, this was definitely a, you know what, we're going to spend a lot of money on our finale. We're 2/3 of the way through our season. Like, this is like a box episode of a sitcom. But it's really, I think it's good. I think they do some different. It is, though, kind of on what you're talking about, Scott. Like, I know there's lots of reasons to love Star Trek. I think they do very interesting things. I understand why Ari loves it so much with their, you know, them trying to base as much as they can in science. But just on a mechanical level, this is a terrible show.
You mean this episode or you mean the show?
It's just it. I always every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, I should watch The Next Generation. I mean, it's a beloved show. I like science. I don't hate Star Trek. And then it's like the production value from the original series to this is not as big of a jump as I always hope it's going to be.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. The production of the original series, that's some.
Well, that's because the original series, they were always going to other planets. And those are fucking hard to reimagine every week, to reimagine another planet. And this one, it's like, your whole show is on a ship. Like, let's kick it up a notch.
I think if you take the original series to Next Generation, the Next Generation to the Discovery, those are some all pretty big jumps. It's just the 90s were a long time ago. Desmond, this is so let's have some reference, right? Next Generation is late 80s, early 90s. So from now till then is the same difference from Back to the Future to 1955. So that's the difference of Different Strokes to the Honeymooners. So that's a same time difference of Next Generation to now. Oh God, I just said that.
30 years, right?
Oh God.
It was 30 years ago.
Over 30 years. It started in the late 80s. Didn't Next Generation start late 80s, I think?
Definitely early 90s, yeah.
See, I always... 87!
Oh.
80... Okay, I take back everything I said. I always imagine this show starting in, like, the mid-90s.
This episode aired in 1992. This was 31 years ago. Oh, my God.
Wow.
When you were watching Knight Rider, that was like watching I Love Lucy or The Honeymooners when TV first started.
Remember watching... Did you ever watch Nick at Night with your parents?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like now Nick at Night is Friends and Seinfeld. And I used to watch My Two Dads, Mr. Ed.
My Two Dads was not in the 50s.
It was on Nick at Night.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the Nick at Night lineup.
We're going down a wormhole right now. Anyway, so the other thing that I want to bring up with you guys is, so they get out of the time loop. I guess it's fine. They were gone for 17 days. I would just think, like, out of the time loop, you're just right back at the time, like you're in normal time again, right?
Yeah.
According to them, they were gone for 17 days.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, because it was only like a 10-hour loop, really.
Well, oh, so they were in a... Time was not in a loop. They just were.
Yeah. So time are outside of this
time
bubble.
Time kept going on.
Exactly. And they were in this bubble for 17.4 days, yeah.
Yeah.
But then they came... So that means they traveled back in time.
Right, that's interesting, right? So time didn't repeat, just them within time. So that's like a Palm Springs approach.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, because Palm Springs, you could escape
that. Yeah.
They were in a bubble. Yeah, Desmond, it's like Ark. You remember Ark? They were literally in a bubble that kept repeating. But outside of the bubble, time flowed normally.
So that's another thing that, like, how do you not tie this into the Starfleet Academy in San Francisco? Of being like, where the fuck have you guys been for the last 17 days?
Yeah, they probably were.
Because...
Yeah, there'd be like, you think they'd be like freaked out. There'd be like search parties and stuff. Like, right? The Federation, if a ship was missing for 17 days.
Well, it hadn't checked in 17 days. Maybe not.
They might be also on the outskirts. Yeah.
They're very far away, yeah, from San Francisco.
But no log, no report. Yeah, I don't know.
And even if they're like, you know what? We got a lot of ships out there. We don't touch bases with every single one of them every day. Fine. The Bozeman? Someone's been looking for that fucking ship.
Yeah, for sure.
And they would have had some clue as to its last whereabouts. The Decheon field distortion.
Yeah, in the beginning of the episode, they talked about they're exploring this uncharted area or something. So how that ship got there, who knows?
Maybe the field distortion moves. Maybe the Bozeman got into it in one place and it's been traveling through space since.
Yeah.
If a Decheon field distortion falls in a black hole, does anyone hear it?
That's some science humor, folks. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you guys feel about the episode? We've done so much more complex loop stuff that this probably seems a little bush league for us, doesn't it?
It's basic, yeah. It's simple, but...
As I continually point out, there was possibly some very interesting ways to take this episode.
You just want to talk about Frasier.
Or, like I said, not even Frasier, just like, you know, like I said, they basically now have time traveled into the future 17 days. You know, I mean, again, since you mentioned it, Scott, the Bozeman, 80 years, like there's definitely some cool stuff. And I do like the idea that, because in all the loop stuff we've ever seen, I guess other than Ark, now that I say it out loud, there's never been anything to explain why. It's always mystical. So it is very interesting that this is a black hole type situation of a thing of some sort that's causing this loop.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being magical, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they just say there's like a temporal anomaly and then they don't investigate. It's over and they're just like, yeah, we made it through. Like there's no investigation. There's not really that, because that's a thing. Or maybe that's just like a storm to them. And it's like, it's raining. Temporal causality loop, right? They said. But the causality loop is suggesting that they keep causing the loop.
Yeah, they talked about the explosion, which kind of could be a hole. They talked about the explosion, the two ships colliding is what triggered them to go back in time. But how did the ship that's been there for 80 years get stuck there for 80 years without the explosion?
So the ship is in its own loop. And because they crash with it, they get brought into a loop also.
Yeah, yeah, they get like caught up in their loop. But they don't explain how the original ship, because they talked about the explosion is what triggered them to keep going back and keep going back. But what was the trigger for the original ship to keep going back?
Right. This is a problem. Because
yeah,
whatever they did to cause out for their causality and to keep it going. Now our ship came in, crashed into them, and now there's a whole new loop still for them and also for us. That's questionable.
Yeah. And how do they? Yeah. Because you would think that if the loop started after they exploded, then their exploded bits and pieces would be what flowed back in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why would they rewind time back to their fully constructed selves instead of take what's left of them and take those atoms back in time?
Yeah, they made it sound like this thing was like this cloud, and within this cloud time loops, and they collided with the other ship just outside of the cloud, you know, it like broke through and it like brought them back in. It's a little, you know,
before the Enterprise showed up, did the Bozeman ever come out?
Yeah, were they on the verge of getting out of the cloud loop and then the explosion brought them back in for 17 more days? Who knows?
Or did the Bozeman like, were they just aware enough to get the beacon of the Enterprise and change course?
Yeah.
From within their own causal loop, maybe they changed direction for the first time in 80 years because something was finally there to ping them.
And how come they didn't have deja vu on that ship? Or they're just not, no one's as good as the Enterprise.
We don't know that!
Because there's not enough Frasier. I get it.
But I think, yeah, well, no, because it was the Doctor that was the first. I was going to say, because for me, it makes more sense that Data would have caught on faster. Because I think the idea of a computer picking up on it, like I said, keeping those fragments alive.
Well, also, is it weird that I just had a hard time with Dr. Crusher's hair?
It was the late 80s, early 90s.
I just have a hard time. Not retro hair. It's like that clump. It's like a bangs clump, like a sprayed bang clump.
No bang zone.
No bangs. All right, folks. So you know, Scott has a thing against bangs, but this is worse. It was like a bang clump. It was a sprayed up claw. It was like a claw.
Yeah.
This is why we have a time travel podcast, so we complain about hair bang clumps.
I always forget that Michelle Forbes is in this, and I just still, I know she's done a, I know she's done a lot of stuff, and she's great.
Which one is she?
She was like also on The Bridge. She's like looked almost Romulan.
Is she the one with the crinkle on her nose?
Yeah,
she's the one from Heat, right?
She's a Bajoran.
Thank you.
Okay. I just always, I fell in love with her from California with a K.
Ah, yep, yep, that's her. Yeah.
And every time I see her, I.
Does she know about your feelings?
You know what? I've written her so many letters.
I think we could use this podcast as a place to declare your undying love.
Michelle Forbes, I think you're amazing. I wish I knew your, what else did I see her? I saw her in a show recently. No one's seen Heat. That's not a real thing. Oh, she's in the new Picard.
Oh.
That's cool. She's not in it a lot, it looks like, but she popped in for an episode.
Is Gates McFadden in? Is Beverly Crusher with a hair clump?
Oh, wow. She's credited as the clump. That's weird.
That's Wesley Crusher's mom.
I know.
Oh, The Killing. That's what I saw Michelle Forbes in recently. She was really good in that.
She was in the clump.
That's Will Wheaton's mom, you guys.
Oh, we had a whole, when you listen to the episode, you will hear the 10 minutes we did on Will Wheaton.
No, we like Wesley Crusher. We like Will Wheaton. He was good on The Big Bang Theory as himself.
Yeah.
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 See, you know, she knows.
Yeah. She likes that show. I don't like that show. We could debate that for today, but that'd be a waste of time.
For our Big Bang, check out our Patreon page for our Big Bang podcast.
I'll give you a Big Bang podcast. Is there going to be a part of the episode where you ask us if we had the opportunity to get caught in a time loop, would we? Without knowing about it?
I wasn't going to do it, but since you bring it up, Scott.
No one wants to get caught in an unwilling time loop. A non-knowledgeable time loop.
Yeah, after a while, if you manage to gain some, you know, some concept that's what's going on, then here you go. Here you go. Would you want to be caught in a loop on the Star Trek Enterprise? Would that be a fun place to be caught in a loop? Or would you not be able to break out and have fun? Like you got to go to the fucking engine room or you're going to go to the brig. So you just spend every day.
The bridge?
No, the jail, the brig.
Oh, the brig, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I would want to be on the Enterprise no matter what, even if I'm in a time loop. Are you kidding me? That would be so cool.
Well, it's an interesting philosophical idea of like, if you were caught in a time loop, that would be so unfortunate. However, you wouldn't know. And it's a way that you could just repeat a day for eternity and not know that you're doing it.
Well, but if you did know you were doing it, would you want to be on the Enterprise?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm with Scott. Like, it sounds good at first, but then, I mean, if it happened to be, I mean, I don't know if they ever get days off on the Enterprise. Like if it's a Sunday and you get to just hang around, maybe they got a sweet game room somewhere on the Enterprise you go hang out in or something. Go to the holodeck and do something different.
Yeah, they got a holodeck.
It's also, it could be stuck on deck scrubbing day, and every fucking day you either scrub the deck or Picard yells at you. But you're on the Enterprise. You're all about it, Ari. You'll scrub the deck.
I would do it. Oh my God.
You'll swab the deck day after day.
Yes. Sign me up. Starfleet Academy, here I come.
Hey, you're in San Francisco. It's if it pops up, you'll be right here.
Yep.
I'll be cleaning toilets at the home base. I won't get up on a ship.
What are the good examples of like causality films that we've done? Would you say Star Trek? Sorry. Would you say Terminator? No, right?
I don't think so.
Terminator is just a loop. I'm saying for causality, they're also the reason that it happened, right?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It says Looper is. I don't know about that. Palm Springs, Time Crimes, Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
We're doing that next Halloween, you and me, Scott. Hopefully you'll join us, Ari. But
is it scary?
It's technically a horror movie.
It's called Happy Death Day, but I think it's more of like a teeny bopper one.
I don't know if it's any scarier than...
I can watch it first and let you know.
Okay.
Happy Death Day 2 was pretty good.
It really answers the question that Happy Death Day 1 left.
Well, because they're very aware of it by Happy Death Day 2. And so they end up...
It says it's a comedy slasher film.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely...
I mean, it sounds lovely.
It's not super duper scary. Mind games. What's mind games? Sorry, I just looked up causal loop.
He's going down a wormhole. But yeah, these TV show episodes, you know, it is interesting that like in a 45 minute episode, you really can't get into as complex a story as a film.
Yeah.
I think we're going to keep finding that.
I think they did a very good job. And I guess if I watched more Star Trek, I would realize that every episode, you know, digs into some deep, weird, cool, sciencey stuff. And then they just move on the next episode. But of course, being the time travel nerd that I am, I'm just like, how do you just never fucking bring this up again? That's Star Trek.
It's Star Trek then. Now they stick with a cool theme and go with it, like Discovery.
Yeah, with Frasier.
Well, the new, you know, the Discovery, talk about time travel. They travel, what was it, 900 years into the future?
Yeah, I had a huge problem with that. And they still, like, know how to use their technology. They're like, oh, it's a little bit different. It's like, man, I can tell you right now, if we go 30 years in the future, we're a little bit helpless. You go 900 years, it's not just like, oh, here's a few upgrades we made.
Yeah.
It that's problematic.
Yes, but it's still cool.
I don't mean that. I write negative.
Negative today. I'm tired. You're negative.
I'm scientifically critical.
I want to do that episode next. I want to go 900 years in the future.
Hell yeah. That would be so cool.
You'd be helpless. You went 900 years in the future, unless things went back to prehistoric. You'd be like, I don't know how to eat a piece of bread right now. Like currency, what's, you know, 30 years at least there's like, oh, things are different. I got to figure out how to do this.
Ari would go 900 years in the future and just be like, finally, the world caught up to me.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Idiots.
Get it together.
Dum-dums. All right. Anything else on Star Trek TNG episode 518, Cause and Effect?
Woohoo. That's all.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, sometimes on TikTok. We are at time_pop_pod, at Time Pop Pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations and TV show recommendations. I know there's a lot of TV shows out there that are not about time travel, that have a time travel episode. Please, please, please tell us about those, because we're going to maybe start doing a few more of these. And they're very interesting watching these shows that aren't about time travel. Time travel. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any past episode to the same address. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're looking for another great podcast to listen to, check out on this feed. About an episode or two ago, we did a great episode with all of the Sounds Awesome hosts on there. We had 11 hosts from coast to coast on there. We had Truth Not Trends, the fitness podcast. We also had That Fitness Couple, the fitness podcast. They talked about some health and fitness and poop. And we had the Wheel of Time podcast on there, Thank the Light. And we had the Be Brave Women on there, talking about being brave. But most importantly, for our time travel nerds out there, after we talked to everybody from coast to coast and chatted about their podcast, we kicked them off, and All the Answers in Time Pop had an amazing conversation about philosophy and spirituality and science, and they just all collided in the most beautiful conversation about science and spirituality.
Yeah.
Listen to that, people. Do it. Do it. Listen to it.
I like it.
It was a lot of fun. And hopefully, if you listen to that, you will find your next new favorite podcast on there. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Arielle.
And I'm Scott.
Bye-bye now. I will stop doing this podcast. Dongle.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.